Today we're asking the question, is it better to be married or single? Now we would hand out a survey, but you know, some of our married couples may have had a bad week and we don't want any more tension added to the house. But there are times in the church where we uphold married life as God's way, and we can kind of disregard or look down upon our single brothers and sisters. And then there are other times in church life where the spiritual high is to be single and be solely devoted to Christ. And then to be married is kind of secondary. So we want to see what Paul was getting at. You know, in questions that may come up, if God commanded in Genesis to be fruitful and multiply, are we being disobedient if we don't get married? One of the things that comes up is celibacy a spiritual gift? And then finally, what if people can be content in both? So you remember, we're in the city of Corinth. We're in this culture, and the Greco-Roman culture had a low view of the material realm. They had a low view of the body. The body was passing away. It was no good. The spiritual was pure and good, but the body was passing away, and whatever's done in the body will be done away with. And they were surrounded by temptation, sexual immorality, drunkenness, greed, and a number of other things that we've talked about the last couple weeks. And chapter 7 opens up with a quote. We believe that it opens up with a quote from the letter that the Corinthian church had written to Paul. And if you look at the Greek, the NIV almost has it right. It has the general principle there. But when they wrote to Paul, they were writing from a high spiritual place. Some believe it was a question, but given the context we have in the first four chapters with their arrogant, with their spiritual pride and arrogance, we believe it was more a command coming from within the church. And that command was, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And to touch was a euphemism. It is good for a man not to have sex with a woman. And this came from within the body. They're coming out of all this immorality, and Paul's trying to show them another way. And some of their leaders from within took it to the extreme, to the point where not only were there single people abstaining from sex and being pure, but some of the married couples were also, some of the spouses in married couples were also abstaining from sex and withholding it from their spouse because they wanted to attain a higher spiritual plane. They wanted the superior position in the spiritual realm. Now, what's interesting to me about this is it recalled some of my church history. Conrad Beisel was ordained in the COB, in the Brethren Church. And then he started instituting some Old Testament laws, and he started calling for abstinence, for everyone to be abstinent, and they were living in communes, and houses were being divided. And the offense post was literally laid out, and those who wanted to follow Conrad stepped to one side, and those who wanted to stay in the Brethren Church stepped to the other. He took it to an extreme not really found in Scripture. And this is what's happening in the Corinthian church. Now, the other side of it is it could actually be coming from a reaction in their culture. If the world lives like this, and Paul calls us to be holy, set apart, Christ calls us to be holy, set apart, then we need to live like this. And as I was thinking about this, there are times when we go from one extreme that we don't always critically think about things. We go to the other extreme. And as I think about stereotypes and some of the stories that I've heard, if you look at the past, say, 80, 90 years. I've heard stories of marriages in the 30s and 40s, 50s, where the men were abusive. They'd come home drunk. They would run around on their wives, but their wives were dependent upon them because they weren't working, and they had to stick it out. And then in the 60s and 70s, you had this swing with the sexual evolution, where it was free love, and women were becoming more independent. And so then there was a complete kickback against many institutions. And you have this purity movement in the 80s and 90s, where you have books like I Kissed Dating Goodbye written. And what's interesting about that, sad about the swing, the gentleman who wrote that, Josh Harris, recently divorced his wife and renounced his faith. We see these swings, and it's not hard for us to understand that this might be part of what's going on in the Corinthian church. And what Paul is getting at, the core of Paul's message, is that whether you're married or you're single, you're to honor God with your body. Carry yourself with dignity, integrity, and respect. And hold that tension. Find ways to honor God with your body. You know, when we talk about, this is just a side note, when we talk about marriage with our youth, you know, there's lies today that you need to be sexually experienced before you get married because you don't want to disappoint your partner. And what I tell our youth, what I told our youth, is that if you're married and you have a lifetime, you can figure it out. You have a lifetime to figure it out. So, we want to hold that tension. And it makes me think, you know, every once in a while my mom would say, I grew up in the wrong generation. There was a song that said, Honey, I'll live with you for the rest of my life. She said, No hoogie boogie see until you make me your wife. My honey, my baby, don't put my love upon my shelf. She said, Don't hand me no lines and keep your hands to yourself. You know, like, we gotta talk about this. And if it's not talked about in the church and it's not talked about at home, they're going to learn on the school bus. And no one should learn on the school bus. So Paul goes into this back and forth. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman to have her own husband. Man or husband is mentioned 6 times. Woman or wife is mentioned 6 times. There's this give and take. You know, and it made me think of a scripture I dug into the past where women would ordain themselves in jewelry and fine hair and clothes in the Greco-Roman culture because that's what they had. They were seen partly as property to the husband, and the husband would run around on his wife. It was his right. And Paul dismantles that. It is not true. You know, when Adam and Eve were made in the garden, Eve was pulled from his side. She was pulled from his side. They were on the same level. It was the Lord God that they answered to. They worked together. And so you have Paul going back and forth. And he says, you need to fulfill your duty. You no longer carry authority over your own body, but it's given to your spouse. And do not deprive each other. Do not rob, steal, or defraud what is meant for good. And I want to read this quote from Garland, because what Paul is saying is sex is healthy within marriage. Sex is healthy within that which God has created it to be. And you have spouses depriving one another because they want to hit a higher spiritual plane. And Garland, he says, love is to control all Christians' relationships. It does not insist on its own way. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:5. does not seek its own advantage, 1 Corinthians 10:33, and always seeks to please others, 7:33 and 34. One can extrapolate from this that Paul believes that love should govern the marriage relationship and that spouses should not treat one another as objects for sexual gratification. The sexual relationship in particular requires mutual sensitivity, loyalty, care, and tenderness. It is not forceful. It is not commanded. And this is something I forgot to mention in first service. How often do we read scripture and we hear the part for the other? So when we read about husbands and wives, husbands hear the part for their wives and wives hear the part for their husband and they're like, mm-hmm, did you hear that? Let's make it a goal to listen to the part that's directed at us. You know, these Corinthians, they were proud, they were arrogant. And you cannot take that into your marriage if you want it to be healthy. He's saying you are no longer yours, you belong to your spouse. And this is the thing, when you're married, you can no longer make a decision by yourself. You should talk it over with your spouse. If I go home with a new or different motorcycle and don't tell my Jen, it will not be a pleasant surprise. The same thing with her. She comes home and there's something new hanging on the wall. I'd be like, where did that come from? You are no longer your own. You belong to one another. And it's done. Look. Do not lord it over as the Gentiles do. When we talk about authority within marriage, it's a mutual authority. It's a give and take. And sex will be best if both are fully involved, fully invested. Another side note, I drew the short straw for the last 3 weeks. So after this, you'll get a break from me. But Paul is trying to put sex in the healthy frame that God created it for. He goes on to say, stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a way of concession, not a command. A question that might have been brought up was, well, can we fast for a time for prayer? So don't worry, next summer we're not going to go into spiritual disciplines, fasting from sex. But this is what they were asking. Can we take a time to devote to prayer? Okay, I'll let you do that. But come together again. It's how you were designed. It's how you were made. It's part of your marital duty. But he goes on to say, yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and the widows that it is good for them to remain even as I. He's saying, look, if this is how you're made, if this is how you are to be, then remain single, remain unmarried. But if you do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And here he's just acknowledging it is better for some people to be married. And one of the commentators wrote this, you know, when Paul writes burn with passion, he recognizes that there are desires within us and what some people try to do, and this is where the extremes come out. It's like taking a wild animal and caging it. And that wild animal just has this pent up energy. And if that cage breaks, if that door swings open, it will be disastrous and damaging. when we try to impose something that is unhealthy and out of God's plan, it can be disastrous and damaging. But to the married I give instructions, not I but the Lord. And this is Paul pointing back to Christ's teaching in Matthew, that the wife should not leave her husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. And this is why it's important to talk about this. Because when we get married, not everyone considers the full cost. Because we don't talk about it. When you get married, you are no longer your own. When I do weddings, for all those in attendance, I put the challenge out that you are in attendance to witness this union, and you must do everything in your power to strengthen that union, to pray for that couple, to make sure that they stay strong and not pick sides if something comes up. In marriage, you can fulfill the greatest two commandments at home. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Your first neighbor is your spouse. And it's not always easy or fun. But in the long run, it reveals the love of God through us. Doris and John were married 58 years. We've had members married here 50, 60, 70 years. Talk to them. Go to them. Lean on them. Paul does say, but I wish that the rest could be like me. In verse 32, he says, I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He points to the single life. And how the single life, if someone is single, they can devote their full time, their full attention, their full energy to serving God and strengthening His body. And this passage in Matthew 19 about eunuchs was always confusing to me. We don't talk about eunuchs. I had to look it up. Eunuchs worked in like harems with the master's wives, and they were castrated so that they could stay focused. And Jesus says, some were born this way. Some were born and are unable to have children. Some are made this way by men, and some choose to live this lifestyle. They choose to live this celibate lifestyle. He's not lifting any above the other. He's saying this is how it is. Some are born this way. Some are made this way. Some choose this way. And it's interesting that Paul's line of thought follows a similar pattern. He's saying, if you're single, your full concern is for the Lord. But if you're married, your concern, your anxiety is toward the Lord and your spouse, so your attention is divided. And what's interesting to me is, I've heard people say, and if I'm being honest, it's typically men, that they would do this or that for the Lord. They would go on the mission field, they would do this, they would do that. But they don't want to put their wife and kids in danger. Now, to that effect, I've also heard both men and women say, why wouldn't we take our kids there? The Lord's at work. but you see the tension for a husband or a wife. You can't just pick up and go if you're feeling led somewhere without telling your spouse. That would be an issue. And Paul's saying, so the attention's divided. And he finishes with, this I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. What's interesting is Paul's saying, hey, if you're single and can remain single and devote your full life to the Lord, do it. If you're married, honor God in your marriage and devote yourself to God in your marriage, but also honor your wife or your husband. So if you're looking to go away today with a definitive answer of which is better, married or single life, you may go home frustrated, because when we look at Scripture, both are upheld. There are times in life where we uphold marriage because we focus on Genesis 2 or Genesis 1. Genesis. Funny thing is, if we follow Jesus, he was single. So we can't really dismiss our single brothers and sisters. We need to uphold them as well. And this is a note on celibacy. And this is something I'm wrestling with. Both commentators alluded or flat out stated the fact that celibacy might be a spiritual gift. And that in that, all gifts are given to build up the body. So that if you have that gift, great, use it. That's been given to you by God. Not many people have that. Use it to build up the body. Use it to devote your life to Christ. So in and through all of this, whether you're married or you're single, honor God with your bodies and use your gifts to build His up, to build His body up. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that the Scripture has been passed down to us throughout centuries. We pray, Lord, that your word may be planted in good soil today, that it may bring forth fruit, that we can continue to have these conversations and open these conversations up with one another in truth and grace and mercy and conviction. Let us go this week and honor you with our bodies and use our gifts to build one another up in your name. We lift this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope the message you've just heard has brought you closer to Jesus. If it has, or if you'd like to learn more about God or about His Word, the Bible, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at area code 717-898-0181, or you can email us at office@hemfieldcob.org. If you happen to be in the Lancaster or Manheim area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings. You can find details and directions at hemfieldcob.org. And now, from all of us at Hemfield Church of the Brethren, we'd just like to wish you and yours a wonderful and blessed week. The music in this recording has been graciously provided by and performed by Kevin McLeod, www.incompetech.com.